Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an Asian, see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't going to be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control buildings and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 or 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folks got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with your politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
All right, it's a holiday today, Columbus Day, I believe. And today's podcast is titled, Where is the Location of the Matrix? Now, we're familiar with the movie, many of us, I guess, are familiar with the movie The Matrix. I just saw the first installment of it. But then you hear, and it depends on who you speak to, how can you get out of the Matrix? So today we want to concentrate on where is the Matrix in everyday life? That's the topic for today. And, of course, anything else that you guys want to talk about. So we shall be back right after this.
Out.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles. The kid no one would pick. Was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No. Nope.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This, God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said, this man that went to heaven, he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he said, nah, I want to know what's in the door. He said, you sure you want to see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And in the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings. All of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on not meant to be way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on pity way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
Because I used to observe that a lot of those shacks used to be by the track where black people were.
With the room in the back.
Yes, with the room in the back. That was a safety net.
Yeah.
Where black people who would move here and there and go from here and there looking for jobs, that's usually why we move. And the jobs would play out like they always did.
And do.
But we had a place to go when the sun went down. But now, those shacks by the track don't exist anymore. They came and built highways right alongside of those railroad tracks where those shacks used to be. Super highways. So now, if you get on a highway, you might notice that if you... Sometimes you are right alongside of a railroad track. You see trains passing
that
as you are driving.
That is true.
Down a superhighway.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, those highways used not to be there in the northwestern hemisphere. It used to be shacks along there. A lot of those shacks were on what we call railroad property. But the railroad people, the people that ran the railroads, didn't care much because nobody wanted to be down. That wasn't prime real estate.
No.
Nobody wanted to be by the tracks anyway. So black people used to build little shacks around there back when black people knew how to build shacks. Black people don't know how to build anything now because they used to build places for white people, but they cut them off with things called unions, took them out, took the carpentry all out of the schools and all like that. So how many black people do you know how to fix anything now? It used to be thousands and millions of black people that know how to build a house from scratch. out of old pieces of lumber.
Wow.
A lot of people don't remember that. Most people are not that old to have seen it done. I coming along, I'm old enough to remember when many black people used to get together on a Saturday afternoon. That was the only time they had off, or sometimes, or on a Sunday sometimes after church. Get together, six or eight of them, and go down and build what they call a shotgun house. It wasn't much, but it was a roof over your head, a good solid roof. I've been in some of those houses, raised up in some, all right? They were excellent, solid houses. They could stand a lot of storm and rain. They weren't much, just maybe three rooms. But I've been in some of them, and there were many, 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 many of them. But along came the white supremacists and say, these Negroes know how to build stuff. We're going to fix that so the next generation won't know how to do anything except stand in front of a place that is built and big, because they won't know anything about carpentry or masonry or how to make anything with their hands.
All right, today's podcast is titled, Where is the Location of the Matrix? There's a lot of people talking about, you know, I want to leave this country to get out of the matrix. But funny thing is, you can leave one matrix and go to another matrix. So we're going to define geographically in three dimensions in our real world where the location of the matrix, and then if you're going to get off the matrix, you're going to need some skill sets that you might not have developed right there, I mean right now. So we're going to get into that at the top of the hour. You know, that's when people generally start, you know, coming in here. But where is the matrix? Where is the location of the matrix? And then once you know the location, then you know how to maneuver on and off of it, go in and out of it. So, and if you think you know where it is geographically, give us a call at 619-768-2945 or if you have any other topics that you want covered, it's kind of open mic day. I'm just starting off where the location of the matrix is, you know, just as the conversation starts. So we'll be back right after this.
Yeah.
All right, we're here on a holiday, Monday, Columbus Day, I believe. As in some countries, they call this a bank holiday, which banks are closed, and federal and many state offices and probably local offices are closed, too, for Columbus Day, which to some Americans is a controversial holiday. Okay, anyway, today's jump-off topic, and it's we're sort of like open mic today. Where is the location of the Matrix? And depending on who you're talking to, what conversation you're a part of, some people say, well, we're in the Matrix, so I want to get out of the Matrix, or I'm traveling to this particular country to get out of the United States Matrix. And so we're going to define geographically where the Matrix is. And then a lot of those people that say they want to get out of the Matrix don't have the skill set to even get out of the Matrix. So we'll probably talk about that, too. And then, of course, any things you guys want to talk about. And matter of fact, let's see if I can do it. Update my program notes. Looks like I won't be able to do it on this particular phone. Hold on, unless I attack it another way. Okay. Now I'm trying to. All right, let's see. Can't do it that way. Now let me see if I can refresh my page. Am I good? In any event, okay, well, let me paint a picture. And using some statistics and some historical events. Okay, Black Wall Street, which was the Greenwood neighborhood, and located in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Now, it was on 40 acres, the neighborhood of 40 acres, and it was Tulsa, Oklahoma itself then, as well as now, is what I would call, it's an urbanized city. It's on the grid, okay? It's high profile. People go there for jobs, opportunities, living, you know, they got a downtown, all that. Tulsa, Oklahoma is an example of a matrix. And there are a lot of matrices all over the world. Now, we're talking about, you know, because in Tulsa, you know, a city like Tulsa provides comfort and convenience when it comes to you can get a job in, Tulsa. They had municipal services in Tulsa, you know, for water, electricity, that type of thing, power. You didn't have to go that far. You can do shop. You can basically live your world in 1921 as well as in right now in 2022, looking at 2023. You can basically, your world could be contained within a 60-mile radius or less. Okay, or less. So Black Wall Street was built within the matrix of Tulsa, Oklahoma. All right. Now, as history would have it, there was a race riot there
And I think there might be one building standing on what was formerly known as Black Wall Street. All right. Now, there are many conversations on, you know, every time black people build something, they come along and they tear it down and this, that, or the other. So we're going to discuss why that happened, one of the primary reasons why that happened, and what element that something that I've never heard in a comment. There's been a lot of conversations on Black Wall Street, including there's a movement now in Tulsa, Oklahoma, because there are a few people living that lived during that time. They're still alive, and they're like 100-plus years old. Should they or their descendants get reparations? All right. Now, but for right now, let's look at, Black Wall Street, the Greenwood neighborhood in Tulsa, Oklahoma. They were on the Matrix. All right. And we can also apply this. Let me give you a little, bit more vivid picture. A lot of the black folks that were lynched during the Jim Crow era here in the United States, a lot of them lived in the Matrix. A lot of your contemporary high-profile homicides, George Floyd, in Minneapolis, Minnesota, Eric Gardner in New York City, New York, Mike Brown, Ferguson, Missouri. So we're looking at all these people were living in the Matrix. Now, I'm going to give you a more visual picture of this, but Trayvon Martin, Orlando, Florida, Orange County, Florida, he was within the Matrix. Now, the Matrix, the way I'm defining it, is I refer to it as on the grid. Once again, the Matrix or the grid provides you with the average person with the comfort and conveniences where it's easy to find a job, it's easy to find a place of worship, it's easy to find a mate to marry, it's easy to educate your kids, because that's what larger cities do. All right? In the United States, there are 19,500 municipalities. Now, only 10 of them, and you can say those are most of those towns, not all of them, but most of those towns, I would say, with a population of 25,000 people. Actually, no, let me drop that down. Any particular town or city that has a population of 13,000 people or more are one of your larger matrices, okay? Once again, these are typically communities where, the larger the population, the more rules and regulations, the more government you have. All right. Now, out of those 19,500 matrix cities here in the United States, only 10 of them have a population of a million people or more. New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Dallas, San Antonio, Texas, in Houston, Texas, San Jose, California, those places. Now, let's go back to, let me put that in the size of a chessboard. All right. Matter of fact, let me give you sharpen this picture up a little bit more. 75%, well, first thing, let's start with this. let's look at a chessboard, and let's say that chessboard represents the landmass of the entire United States. That's, you know, including Hawaii and Alaska. All right. 75%, actually, let me update this because I have to get my figures straight. Let's see. I believe 86% of the population of the United States occupies 3% of available landmass. In other words, if you take the chessboard, which has 67 squares, three percent of 67, and I'm just rounding things out, on a chessboard, 3% of the chessboard is just two squares. 86% of the population of the United States occupies those two spaces. The rest of the chessboard represents, and mind you, when I say 3%, that includes the city and the suburbs. That's just 3% of the available landmass. 86% of the population of the United States operates in two squares out of that 67-square chessboard. The rest of those squares on there represent rural America, where about 14% of the population lives there. They're not on top of each other. Now, in that 2%, in those two squares, 3%, in those two squares on the chessboard, that's where Black Wall Street happened. On that 2%, those two little squares, which represent 3% of the available landmass, that's where Eric Gardner, Trayvon Martin, George Floyd, you name it, every last one of those homicides took place in those two squares. Ahmaud Arbery, his demise happened within those two squares. Now let's go back to Black Wall Street. Black Wall Street, once again, happened within those two squares. Now, what most black folks who talk about Black Wall Street, particularly from a victimhood point of view, they never talk about, and you know, this aspect that they never talk about, it, but we talk about it on here. And the reason why they don't talk about it is because they don't know about it. In the state of Oklahoma, at the same time that went down, there were 50 black municipalities in the state of Oklahoma. I've been to Taft, Oklahoma a few times, bought some land there, got a house there. Summit, Oklahoma, been there twice. And Tallahassee, Oklahoma, had dinner with the mayor there. And so there were, and those towns still exist, and none of those towns are over 100, all those towns are over 100 years old, and they have never experienced any racial violence. Why? Because they were not within the matrix. They were not within the matrix. They went out and started their own communities off the grid and out of the mainstream matrix. Now, they have their own matrix, but for the sake of this conversation, they were not part of the matrix. And that's why it's about 800 or 900 of these black towns throughout the United States. Matter of fact, the entire Western Hemisphere from Canada down to Argentina has a lot of these little black communities, townships, that the typical black person who has graduated from a HBCU, historically black college and university, with a PhD and whatever, they don't even know that these sounds exist. Why? Because their professors, for the most part, don't know. Some do, but most don't know, and they don't teach it. It's not part of the curriculum, generally speaking. All right. So the matrix, or like I say, is a geographical area where you typically have a densely populated area where, like, once again, with the more people, you got more rules and regulations and all that. All right. Now, I was having a conversation with somebody before we did this podcast this morning. And matter of fact, he's been a guest on here at least once, maybe twice already. I had to give him credit for this, Delmar America, which he now has his own podcast here on Blog Talk Radio, Mondays through Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Fan Passion, which you can look it up online. I think he's had about five shows under his belt already, if not six. But he brought up the topic of military science, and that made me think, you know, I got to bring it up, and we're going to go into more detail about this on other podcasts, and plus bring him in to break it down as well. But when with Black Wall Street, with Rosewood, when these communities were built, they weren't built from, and this is a term that Delmar put out, and I can relate to it because I went to military school for 3 years, military science. And that was a required class that we had to take when I was in military school, military science. When Black Wall Street was built, it was not built with a military science philosophy or mindset in the planning of it. Therefore, when they were attacked, they couldn't properly defend themselves. And that's the case with many mishaps, in my opinion, with too many black folks in the United States. We don't have a military science on a critical mass basis now. There are exceptions, but on a critical mass, particularly community basis, we don't have a military science mindset. Because this is how life is. It's not a question of if you'll ever be attacked. The question is when you'll be attacked. And when you're attacked, do you have to get ready, or do you have the mindset, if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready? Now, with going back to Black Wall Street, the military science point of view, I believe, matter of fact, the three black townships that I set foot in Oklahoma, and I've expressed this on here before, whoever the town founders were for those towns that I set foot in, which is Taft, Tallahassee, and Summit, Oklahoma, particularly Summit, and this is 2022, it blows my mind. How in the heck, and this is going, if we go back in the time machine 100 years or so, how did these people even find this place to say, you know what, let's set up camp here? Because with the modern highway system that we have in place today, during broad daylight, I'm just wondering, how in the hell did somebody, you can get lost going to those places today if you don't know where you're going. All right, so I'm thinking back then, the town founders, at least of the black townships in Oklahoma that I've visited, great locations. Even with Taft, Oklahoma, if you don't know what you're looking for specifically, you can go right past Taft and never know you passed through his hand, the way they have it set up. So, like I said, I don't know the backgrounds of these town founders, but I would say they set it up with a military science point of view. You know, and once again, the military science point of view is, it's not a question of, and you have to have this in your planning, okay? It's not a question of if you'll ever be attacked. You can live a whole lifetime and never get attacked. But the next generation, if you haven't trained the next generation on how to protect the family wealth from attackers or predators or what have you, then you're going to, that generation that lives on after you, they might get attacked. And if you haven't trained them from a military science point of view, once again, it's not a matter of if, eventually it's a question of when. So as the saying goes, once again, you don't have to get ready if you stay ready. You know, and you got to play out. I mean, if you look at the throne of England, you know, why is that monarchy? Matter of fact, even there's a monarchy in Africa. There's about three monarchies in Africa. Why are those monarchies in Africa? Why are they still around? Because they were, part of their philosophy had to be a military point of view. What happens if we get attacked politically? What kind of strategy? It's just, that's why it's I love the game of chess. What strategies do we have in place? What strategies do we need to teach our children? What strategies do we need to teach our grandchildren or great-grandchildren to protect themselves and protect the family? And that's why those monarchies keep on going year after, you know, generation after generation after generation. All right. But you don't have to be part of an aristocracy like that. This is something that you can start on your own. You know, how do you protect your homestead or wherever your home might be? You know, and that's in detail. So we're not going to go into all those aspects today. But, you know, now, 45 minutes from me, there's another black township, Eatonville, Florida. You know, over 100 years old, arguably the oldest black township in the United States, they've never been attacked. And they're just 6 miles outside of Orlando. Okay. So what kind of thinking going forward, just like gentrification? You know, gentrification, of the people living in that block, what are your strategies to keep the demographics of the block the same generation after generation after generation? If you don't have that military science philosophy and then teach it to your children and grandchildren and great-grandkids, then you're going to get gentrified. You have to have a military science mindset on how, and I think a very good game to teach that is the game of chess. You know, look it up online. You know, how many defenses are there? How many openers are there? There's some people that are grandmasters in chess that they play blind chess. Blind chess is what they're blindfolded. And they can be playing 5 or even up to 10 people. And because they know the board. The board's got 67 squares. They know how many players each side has. They know which moves that these players, what legal moves that they can make. We need to think like chess players when we set up communities. Because if you don't think like a chess person, where you know the landscape, you know the players that are on the landscape, you know what kind of moves that they can make, then you have strategies that you can counter any strategies that are contrary to your strategy. If you don't know that, you're going to get wiped off the board. And that's what happened with Black Wall Street. So whose fault is it? Is it white folks' fault? Or was it their fault for not having a military science mindset? So I'm thinking like a chess person. So they were just sitting out there, ass out all in open. Whereas the 50 other black municipalities, and there were other black communities, there were probably at least 100 black communities, but out of that, there were 50 were municipals. And you had other places like Blackjack, Oklahoma, which is probably as old as Taft, Oklahoma, but they're just not incorporated. They're not a municipality. But they're a community just as strong as Taft. So whose fault is it? If you have a car and you put your car keys in ignition and you roll down the windows, and then you retire from the, you know, retire to the next day, and then you come out, and the next morning, your car is gone. Whose fault is it? You for leaving the car keys and the unlocked cars with the windows rolled down, or the person who stole the car? That's the question of the day. That's how I look at Black Wall Street. They had no line of defense because it was never planned. So whose fault is it? Is it the white folks who attacked them? Or was it their fault for not having a defense plan? I'm just putting that out there. Okay. Just like when in a game of sports, football game, there's an offensive team, there's a defensive team. You just can't play offense and win a sports contest. Because the team that plays offense and defense, when you're just playing offense but you have no defense, you're going to lose. Just like they can't be an all-defensive team but no offensive team. You know, if all you're playing is defense, but you never have an offense, you never score. That's in every sport. Same with community building. Okay, building community is offense. Okay, then how are you going to defend it? Now, part of defending it is maintenance, but you also have to think of extreme measures as well. What if we do get attacked? What are you going to do? So we'll get into more detail on the military science, what is military science, and how we can apply this historically. You know, what situations were this, done? Like, now I give the NAACP some credit. With the arrest of Rosa Parks, they were thinking militarily. They were using military science in their thinking. Because that whole thing, the way that was set up, was essentially to a high degree staged by the NAACP, their lawyers. Rosa Parks was not the first person that was arrested for what she did. They had probably at least two other people. One was, Claudette Colbert. She was actually probably arrested. She was arrested way before Rosa Parks. But their strategy, because Claudette was, she was pregnant, she was a teenager, and she was pregnant by a married man. They didn't want that image. So they just, you know, we'll go over that one day too. But that was a very good strategic job of playing chess, and it worked for the NAACP, and it worked for the advancement of black folks in this country because they were thinking with a military science mindset. They knew that if somebody sat in the back of one of those buses black, that they would be arrested. They knew the landscape. They knew the political landscape. They knew the legal landscape. But they had an offense and a defense, and that's why the whole Mo Rosa Parks things was a success. So we have to think that way with basically almost everything in life. We have to think strategically. We have to think like military scientists. Because if we don't think this way, then, you're crying the victim course. Once again, if you leave your car keys in a car, and you roll all the windows down, you leave the doors unlocked, you retire for the night, and you come out at 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning to use your car, and the car is stolen, whose fault is it? Is it yours? Are you really the victim when you neglected to take the keys out of the car, take the keys out of the ignition, to roll the windows up and lock the doors? Are you really a victim or just plain stupid? Or is it the person who stole the car? You know, should they be the bad guy? Same thing with Black Wall Street. You played good offense. You bought the 40 acres. You had a nice, prosperous neighborhood. But you had no plan in place to protect it, including, because part of that is, what kind of social capital do you have with the powers that be that existed in Tulsa at that time? What kind of political power did you have? Did the mayor, did the city council, did they all owe you favors, your community favors? Did you hire some of their children to work in your businesses? Did you help elect the mayor and the city council to office? And as crazy as this might sound, were you doing business occasionally with some KKK members? Because business is business. These are all things that you have to take into consideration when you're trying to protect your turf. Black Wall Street was left, in my opinion. They were totally ass out from the beginning. It's a miracle that they lasted as long as they lasted. They weren't thinking with a military science point of view. That did not go into the planning of that place. Whereas the other, well, out of the black town super, once again, that I've set foot in Oklahoma, in Taft, Oklahoma, Taft, Summit, and Tallahassee, Oklahoma, they're all about 45 minutes, 50 minutes at best, all under an hour away from Tulsa, Oklahoma. I'm not saying anything I read out of the book. Now, I've actually been to all those places I'm talking about. Physically. So I know how long it takes to drive. And back then, a lot of those people were walking and using a horse. But they got, even today, although it's 45, those towns are 45, 50 minutes away, like I say, unless specifically you know how to get to these towns, during daylight hours, because at night, really, if you don't know where you're going at night, you won't find these places. At least the three places that I've been to in Oklahoma. All right. Anyway, that's my little rant on that. We'll get more into military science at a later date. But military, because when you're playing chess, we can sort of call that introductory to military science thinking and philosophy. You know, you got to be thinking 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 moves ahead. And you got to be thinking, and that moves ahead, right? If they do this, how can I counter it? You know, am I going to sacrifice this to get to that? You have to think that way. But just sitting someplace, ass out, with no way to defend what you've got, are you really a victim? So we need to think more like military scientists. At least that's my opinion. Okay, now let's see. I got to find my board here. All right, we're 619-768-2945. That is the call-in number. Excuse me here, clearing my throat. We're on a holiday weekend. We can talk about anything you guys want to talk about. Oh, you know what? I got sidetracked because the title, the jump-off title for today is Where's the Location of the Matrix? So I said all that to say this. Tulsa, Oklahoma, this is just an example, is of the Matrix. So once again, in the United States, 86% of the population of the United States occupies, they live on 3%, just 3% of the landmass. Within that number, 92% of black folk live within that 3%. Now, once again, using the chessboard, which has got 67 squares, 3% represents 2 squares on the board. So you got, I mean, you know, black folks, when we talk about, they're redlining us. And fuck that. Look at the other squares on the board and move to those places where there is no redlining. You have all these people. You got over 320 million people in the United States. 86% of that number are crammed in on that 3%. The LAs of the world, Los Angeles, not LA the person, but Los Angeles, California, Chicago, the Bostons, the Miamis, the Orlandos, the Seattle, Washingtons, the St. Louis, Missouris, all those places, once again, they're 19,500 times. Those places are crammed into the urbanized 3% of the landmass. The United States of America is essentially a rural country. 97% of the United States is rural. Green acres. Why rent a room in New York City for $800 to $900 a month? We're talking about a room, not a big room even. Well, you can go to upstate New York and start buying you acres of land. And you probably get an acre up in somewhere in New York City. Depends on what part of the state. I bought land for as low as $200 an acre. Actually, $180 an acre. Well, I rounded off to $200 when you throw in taxes and the recording fees and all that. However, you're going to now. The Amish and the Mennonite, they live in the 97% that's rural. You don't hear about them getting jacked up by the police. You don't hear about them getting pulled over by the police. You don't hear about them having an accident where somebody gets fairly shot by the police. Give me a George Floyd version, the Amish George Floyd version of the Amish or the Mennonite. Why? They don't live on the matrix. They live in the 97% of the United States where essentially no matter what you look like, black or white, yellow, green, blue, brown, purple, you're left alone. So some of you people, well, you know, I want to move to Brazil or someplace like that. And the majority of people that move, what saves a lot of people when they go to someplace like Brazil is your passport. That's a whole nother podcast. But till they might go to Sao Paulo, which is one of the largest cities in the world, or Rio de Janeiro, which that's their own matrix. But what's saving you is that blue passport book you have if you're an American citizen. But that's a whole nother podcast. But in any event, that's, and then you can apply that principle to anywhere around the world. Still, I mean, and some people, now you can float in and out of the matrix. Now, I float in and out of the matrix myself. Simply stated, I can go from an urban environment to a rural environment where I have deer and wildlife surrounding me. Now, granted, there's no bus line. There's not going to be a bus line anywhere I'm at in a rural area. There's no bus line. There's no metro or subway system. I'm okay with that. The nearest Walmart might be 2 to 3 hours away. I'm all right with that. Okay. In Taft, Oklahoma, Summit, Oklahoma, and Tallahassee, Oklahoma, those three black townships, they have a mayor and city council, but they have no police. And that's the way their citizens want it. And if you want, you can get together with a couple of your friends, and as I've mentioned for the last 2 or 3 weeks, you can start your own place, like they're doing with Freedom Georgia. Just look up online. The Freedom Georgia Initiative, or you can go to their Facebook, not Facebook. Yeah, Facebook page, Freedom Georgia Initiative, or you can go on, the YouTube, and type in Freedom Georgia, and just, you can see how they're doing. They're starting their own thing off from scratch. And there are other communities of all ethnicities around the globe that are always starting their own town. So anyway, all right, so that's where the matrix is. Some people do absolutely great on the matrix. So I just put this podcast out there to say, all right, here's how to recognize a matrix. And then there are different types of matrices. I'm not going to get into that. But then you can do your own, you know. It comes down to what you want to do. All right, well, let's go to the phone lines right now. 410 area code, your mic is open.
Hotep, Brother L.A., how are you doing?
I'm fine on this. I didn't even know it was a holiday today until late last night.
Wow, this should be one of your most favorite holidays, brother.
Now, why should it be?
Well, this, because of Columbus's discovery, we're living the good life over here in this blessed United States.
Well, now, that's a controversial...
If it hadn't been to him, I wouldn't be here.
That's a controversial word now, because some say he didn't discover anything. How can you discover something that was already here?
Well, we live with all the other lies. Why not live with this one?
Well, I'm glad it is a holiday. And I like to keep the holiday in place. I'll put it that way.
Well, getting to the subject, I didn't know you had a military background. I didn't know you had served.
No, I went to military school, which is a far cry from the real military.
What was that, in college or?
No, that was 6th, 7th, and 8th grade.
Oh, great.
Military school is nothing like the real military basic training and none of that. I didn't. They didn't get that deep with it, but I would not say that was real. There was a class that was called military science, but it was kept like real light. Nothing
well,
like, you know, you would do in the basic training.
Well, at least you was exposed to the basic.
Exposed to that term, military science. And teeny bit more than that. And the upperclassmen, like from 9th grade up to 12th grade, if you wanted to take aviation, they would actually teach you how to fly real planes. You know, just those real propeller planes that people have for recreational use. They taught that type of thing. But I didn't stick around to 9th grade. I left that to 8th grade.
Oh, okay. Addressing your subject for today. Matrix, are you familiar with the lady that wrote the Matrix screenplay and wrote the book?
You know what? I've had her on here before. Her name escapes me, but I'd interviewed her for about a couple hours here 5 years ago, 6 years ago.
Right. Well, the reason why I'm bringing it up is because you saw the movie, the Matrix movies, didn't you?
I saw the first one.
Okay. Well, the first one really is the best one as far as I'm concerned because it lays the ground for all the rest of them. But look, let me give you this. The Matrix, I always use environment. The Matrix is nothing but the social structure and the environment that we live in, which is dominated by white supremacy and the practice of self-preservation and survival of the fittest. And the thing is this, it's controlled by white Western powers. So the thing is, the only way you're going to get out of the Matrix, you're going to have to destroy it. Because as long as you're living under this present framework, you're always under the guise of white supremacy. So with that being the case, you'll never get off the grid unless you go in and destroy this white supremacy spider web network across the globe, because the thing is, wherever you go, white supremacy dominates.
All right, let me ask you this question. Let me ask you this question, okay? Man, now how does the underground, because with the Underground Railroad, okay, you take somebody like Harriet Tubman. Harriet Tubman knew how to, through the Underground Railroad, go from one environment where slavery was legal to another environment where slavery was not legal. And she can live, she had her liberty, as well as the other people who followed her, they had their liberty.
Well, Brother L.A., it hadn't been completely set up during her time. There's nowhere you can go now and escape the practice of white supremacy. You just can't do it. And the reason why you can't do it is because they have tweaked it and gotten it so sophisticated now to the point that, hey, anything you do, they're going to control it. So with that being the case, you're talking about two different times. Now, had black folks gone in and done what Moses Dixon wanted to do, you probably wouldn't be in this situation today. But the trick is,
now,
you can
share with us who was Moses Dixon. Who was Moses Dixon? Give us a background on that.
Moses Dixon was the black freedman that set up the Knights of Liberty. And what happened is there was about 50 or 60,000 black armed men that he organized. And he was going to take down the slavery system. But what happened is they went ahead on and compromised their original plans by going ahead on and fighting with the Union soldiers. That's who Moses Dixon is. People need to look it up. because the thing is, we think that black folks just willingly settle for being enslaved by these heathens, and that's not the case. But everybody needs to look up Moses Dixon. That's who he is. And there was a number of other strategy thinkers, black strategy thinkers during slavery time, but he's the guy that had he gone ahead on and just waited for the Civil War to end, he could have gone in and changed the whole outlook of this present United States. That's the way I see it when I analyze what he was trying to do. But anyway, getting back to what you're talking about, there's no way you can live off the grid here. You can't do it. And the only way you can do can halfway survive in this system of white supremacy, you're going to have to come up with a decent strategy and do it. What's the word that they use? I can't think of the word that they use in warfare. You know what it is. It escapes me. But anyway, you're going to have to do little pockets of doing whatever you need to do. And I don't see anybody doing that because, number one, the Federal Reserve System and the system of central banks, you can't transact any funds. The Internet, you can't do a whole lot of things without going through the Internet. And you can't form any type of defense to protect yourself because the Western European white powers have military superiority. Now, the Afghans and the Vietnamese and all of them defeated them militarily, but the thing is, they still came under the control of the international monetary system and the global, the economic system. So with that being the case now, you're not going to be able to do it, Brother L.A.
What about we talked about for the last couple of weeks, like communities like this setting up in, Freedom, Georgia. You know, they've got their land, and they want to build their own community, including growing their own food, stuff like that. Now, granted, they're not going to build up a military arsenal to compete against the United States. But all they're looking at is having a safe haven, trying to get away from someplace like Atlanta, where they'll be left alone and they won't be subject to redlining and, policies that you might find in a city like Atlanta.
Well, you're being too simplistic. Number one, where are they going to get the utilities from?
They can do solar there. Well, as a matter of fact, they're doing their own well system. They're putting in their own septic system. And I guess for electricity, they're going to be using solar.
Yeah, I hope that's the case. But how are they going to get their food and all the other things that they need? Logistically, and the thing
I'm gonna bring somebody on there from them and let them break all that down, because I'm just guessing right now that they do plan on growing a lot of their own food. They're
sure.
Up to 502 acres now.
That's right.
That's what they have.
That's
now.
Right. That's right. But the thing is, if they're gonna do any transactions outside of their area, they're going to have to go through the centralized banking monetary system, even if they do their transactions through cryptocurrency. They're just going to have to do it. If they want to get on the Internet and provide information in the schools and everything else, yeah, you can have some semblance of independence, but you just can't do it, Brother L.A. And you're talking about one small 100,000 of a percent of people that you're talking about.
You're right.
So in that case, it just ain't gonna. And look, they're still gonna be under the guise of white supremacy. Now, I'm gonna say this: They got to pay taxes. And the trick is this, brother, they exist for the with the pleasure of white folk. Because if the white folk want to put the squeeze on them, and this government, which is controlled by white racists, they can take them out anytime they want to. This has already been proven in Georgia. When the New Orleans bought their 400 and some acres of land, they completely wiped them out. Of course, they had a crooked leader, which wouldn't have made any difference. But Stevie Wonder and I forgot his name, the actor, bought their land.
What are you talking about? Wesley Snipes?
Wesley Snipes. They got them out of it. So, I mean, they serve at the pleasure of white folks. They exist at the pleasure of white folks. So with that being said, you know, that's why I always say that black folks live in a very hostile environment, regardless of where they are. Even in Africa, where we have the numbers and supposedly you have these independent countries, Western powers can wipe them out anytime they want to. So you can't do it unless you do an asymmetric type situation where you have little pockets. And that's why I asked you if you saw the Matrix movie. Same thing
happened.
Yeah,
I just saw the first one, yeah.
Yeah, the system was so set up until you had little pockets. Neo was a guy that, hey, wanted independence, just like you're talking about. And he wanted to go in and do whatever he needed to do. But, you know, he had the white boy, which was the hero, to come in and fight the system to a point. But the trick is, Brother L.A., what you're talking about, I don't think nobody has the guts or the stomach to do what you think you're talking about. And that's going in and doing away with white supremacy. You just don't have that.
Okay,
that
let me ask you this, man. Let me ask you this. No empire lasts forever. The Roman Empire lasted maybe about 1,000 years, and the Roman Empire is no more.
That's true. And look, the Egyptian Empire lasted longer than that. But
right.
The thing is, what happened is you came up with another system, but no empire has ever been structured the way this empire is being structured. They didn't have complete control of the whole planet. You can't do anything out here now outside of the Western European powers and be successful. You can have little dings in it, you know, here and there, like the Afghanistan, the Vietnamese, and the Chinese and all those places, and Cuba. But the thing is, you have to operate within this matrix or this hostile environment. Because that's all the matrix is your environment. I mean, you can't do any transactions. Look at Cuba. They put a blockade on Cuba. Cuba can't trade with nobody but Russia. And Russia's really is under their control. So the thing is, Brother L.A., I mean, you're going a little bit too far. Now, you can do some small things asymmetrically. But these people have tweaked the system to such a point now that, hey, they got you. They got you. Unless you're willing to go out all out and you're willing to dedicate yourself to destroying the system.
Well, that's not a one-man job. So.
Exactly. And look, in the Matrix, the way that was structured in that first movie, they had spies in there, didn't they? They had spies in the Earth ship that Neo was commanding.
Marcus Garvey had spies. It is always a mole.
There's always a mole, but the thing is, if you studied military science, in which you did, in which you're familiar with it, there's ways you can compartmentalize information. And with that being the case, you got to be prepared to take on casualties. And you got to be able to inflict casualties. And you got to know where the weaknesses are in the system or either in the structure that you're trying to do away with. And they are weaknesses. But the trick is this. you're going to have a maximum effort with dedicated people to do what you're talking about. And I'm not advocating it, but we're just discussing what you're discussing.
Right.
Because you've already seen whenever they want to take out something like a Tulsa, or they want to take out something like, where was that island down there in the Caribbean? I can't think of the island. Where
oh,
Reagan
talking about, you talking about Hispaniola, which they took. Well, the Haiti won. The African slaves defeated the French soldiers, and that's why that was the birth of Haiti.
Well, this was in recent times. I'm not even go back that far. There was an island down there that was trying to go ahead on and empower themselves, and they took and Reagan sent some troops down there under the guise that there was Soviet engineers down there doing whatever they were doing. I can't think of the name of the island. But in Argentina was wiped out by the British when they tried to do some stuff. So, I mean, with that being the case, you have air superiority. You have a number of bases, American bases all around the world, not including what Britain and France and all of them have. And plus they've done a good job of brainwashing everybody, especially black folks. So with that being the case, now, you're not going to be able to live off the grid, brother. Can't do it. Now, you can do some things, but you're going to be limited in what you can do. Now, the only people that has a chance to do that is the American black man and black woman. But we don't have the stomach to do that, brother.
Yeah, most people are, addicted to the comfort and conveniences of the grid.
Well, it's not so much that, brother L.A., as it is your train of thought. You've been trained, especially black folks in the United States, you've been trained to fight against yourself. When you see gangland activity in the hood and you see drug dealing in the hood, all that is the system going ahead on and trying to neutralize you as a threat. When you see gentrification and you see birth control, all of that's the system gradually wiping black folks out in the United States and somewhat in Africa. So with that being the case, you got to, number one, you got to completely change the mentality, which means a massive education effort to go in and change minds. It starts there.
And that's got to be put on privately.
You can put it on publicly, really. I mean, but the thing is, you're just going to have to let people know, hey, look, you have an identity, and you're going to have to practice self-preservation and survival of the fittest. But you can do it subtly. I mean, white folks do it all the time right in our face, and we don't even realize it.
Well, the Jewish community, they have Saturday school in the Jewish community. The reason why I said privately, because basically state-sponsored education, better known as public school, that basically there to indoctrinate you, to train you to work for wealthy corporations. Even HBCUs, most people that work get graduate from a HBCU, they don't go to work for a black employer. They go to work for the government or a white employer.
Well, brother LA, you're just reinforcing my position. What is a corporation but a state sponsored entity? That's all it is.
Mm.
The thing is, once you go in and apply for incorporation papers, you're controlled by the government. So would that be
yes,
the case?
Yes, you do that. You have to follow the state's rules and regulations. You're right.
Yeah, and then when you bring up the Jewish question, most of the time they're controlling the matrix. Jewish bankers and Jewish financiers they're the one controlling the matrix. I mean, the ones in the upper echelon of that ethnic group, they're the one that's controlling the matrix. So, I mean, you can't use them as an example, because not only do they control black folk, but they control white folks and everybody else, because they control the money. And look, I don't care whether you call me an anti-Semite or not. I'm just telling the truth. So, hey. There are some things you can do, but you know it can't be discussed on the air. There are some things you can do. Well, I hate the bubble, but you know, that's just like, hey, look, them 19 families that bought those 93 acres of land and talking about putting up their own place. I mean, if white folks don't want it there, I mean, the Nuwabians showed you they paid for 460 acres cash. And because the white folks felt them being a threat, they went in and wiped them out and put the leader in jail. Of course, you know, he left himself open to be jailed because he was doing some foul stuff. But they didn't want him there. They felt like there was a threat to that county if they were able to go in and develop that property.
Right.
So, I mean, that's just the way it is, Brother Ellis. So now, yeah, you're talking about those townships in Oklahoma. And look, there was about what? 2,000 or 3,000 townships that was all black, that was built by blacks. But the thing is, those white folks didn't want them to exist, they could have wiped them out at any time. In fact, what in Allentown, California, I think that's the name of it, that black township, what they did, they cut the water off and stopped them from getting water and killed that town. And if you look at what they're doing to us now, putting lead in the water system, mercury in the water system, I mean, you see all of this stuff working against us now.
Well, it's not going to be. Well, I think there's enough that you can do in this country right now where you can move to a place in a rural area, that is. And essentially, if you got the skill set, you can be left alone and live a nice, quiet lifestyle.
If you find it, you call me. I want to move this. You can do it.
I'm saying figure out a rural area that you like.
I'm just telling you now that, hey, look, if you get to a point where things are looking good, things are operating good, you got the enemy coming. And all you got to look at Soul City. Soul City was well planned. And all they did was, hey, Jesse Helms, the senator from North Carolina, said, hey, my main purpose is to make sure that, hey, look, you don't succeed. And he used all of his government contacts, the media, and everybody else to shut it down and stop factories and corporations from coming in to provide jobs. So, yeah, you can go to a certain extent, but I'm just telling you now, you have, like you said before, you got to be prepared for the worst, and you better have a strategy, because it ain't that easy.
I agree with you there. I agree with you.
Yeah. But,
that's the military science part of it.
Well, the trick is this. It can work, but there's certain things that you have to do, and I don't think black folks got the stomach to do it or the backbone. We ain't got it. Unless you go and do a tremendous amount of indoctrination.
And the best place to do that is with the children, the young ones.
And you're going to have to get rid of some old ones.
Well, the older ones will die off eventually anyway, so.
And you're going to have to cut off. You're going to have to cut out the TV. You can't have them have any outside communication because, hey, this whole media entertainment system that's set up is set up to brainwash you into thinking that, hey, look, you're still a slave. In fact, we're still slaves, and white folks are slaves too now. Poor white folks are slaves too. But the trick is, most of black folks, because black folks present the biggest threat to this matrix of white supremacy. It's black folks.
Now,
why
do you think that is in 2023?
Why do I think what?
That black folks pose a threat to white supremacy.
Number one, the black race is the biggest population on the planet, bar none. That's when you combine India and China populations together. Black folks are the most widely dispersed population on the planet. The other thing is, if whites mate with black folks, then they're no longer white folks. Because of their DNA. And the other thing is, there's not a military force that can get rid of all of them. Now they can bomb them and poison them and do all of this other stuff. But the thing is, they don't have the numbers. If black countries and black folks organize themselves, they can't defeat them militarily on the ground. They can't do that. But now they can bomb them into non-existence, I guess. But if there's a strategy and black folks ever develop a strategy, then what happens is white supremacy ceases to exist. And especially if they go in.
What would you say would be the origins of white supremacy? I'm looking at, if you really believe that, if you take the gun out of the hands of these people early on, because basically that's how they got control of a lot of stuff, is through gun violence. They just had the weaponry to be bullets.
And the recognition that they were the smallest population on the planet, and they didn't have the resources, and they learned early that, hey, look, you have to go in and divide and conquer. And once they divide something, then they come in, and you know the deal. You study military science, get rid of all of the thinkers, and then you implant your system into the land that you occupied. And when you don't want to occupy, you put in a false leader. You put in a strong man to control the masses, and you control the strong man. Ain't that what happened with Joseph Sese Mobutu?
Yeah. He was controlled.
Yeah, and ain't that what happened with the boy there in Iraq, Saddam Hussein?
Yep.
So
Manuel Noriega in Panama.
And the only reason they haven't taken Cuba out is because Cubans still have have nuclear weapons. They tell you that that Russia took all those nuclear weapons out, but look, Cuba has nuclear weapons, which means they don't have a defense to go in and stop those missiles from coming over here and destroying the eastern seacoast. Now, if Cuba didn't have those weapons, they would have done the same thing to Cuba that they've done to Haiti and Dominican Republic and all these other places. But Cuba has those nuclear weapons. They never took them out. And the thing is, that's the only thing keeping them from going in on Castro, because when the Bill of Pigs happened, the thing is, they were supposed to have got air support from the United States military, but they backed up because, hey, Castro was ready to use those weapons, those missiles. Now, you can call, say, hey, look, that's going out on a limb. But, hey, look, you don't have to tell me, and you don't have to try to convince me that that's the only reason the Bill Pigs invasion failed.
Now, Gary, Castro's gone. I don't know if his brother's still living, because his brother took over after that.
I think Raul is still living. But if not,
okay, well, that's his brother. Look, okay.
Yeah, but if not, look, Cuba has so ingrained and so trained those people that, look, America is the enemy, just like North Korea. Hey, every child starting from the time that they can walk and talk has been taught that America is the enemy and they are out to destroy you. And that's the infrastructure that you've got to put in place in order to defeat white supremacy. See, they aren't confused about who their enemy is. They know who their enemy is, and they know their survival depends on them being ready to defend to the death their independence from America. Now, look, the United States went in there and took over Iraq, but when somebody asked George Bush about going into North Korea and getting rid of those military weapons, what did he say? He said, well, we don't have a cookie-cutter policy, because he knows those Koreans ain't bullshitting. Excuse the expression.
All right. Mm-hmm.
And he knows that he knows the Castro. Huh?
The North Koreans.
Yeah, the North Koreans. And plus, he knew Castro, if they had to sent those planes over there to support the Belpiz invasion, Castro was going to wipe out the whole eastern seacoast with those nuclear weapons. That's the only thing keeping them out of Cuba. If you can give me another reason, give it to me.
I can't think of any.
Well, that's Piyaki. He knows everything.
He left. He was here. Unless he's lurking in the background somewhere.
Oh, God. Well, look, don't bring me up first. Always bring him up first. I always cherish his opinions. But anyway, Brother Elliot, I mean, all you got to do is think outside the box now. I mean, I could be wrong. I could be wrong, but now, if I'm wrong, tell me. And you can call me up anytime. You got my number. We don't have to discuss
right.
this over there.
Right. Well, we got, well, as far as the Matrix thing is, like you said, you don't have to be Amish. You don't have to get a horse and buggy. But I think people on average can live a quieter lifestyle, free of violence or whatever, if you go to a rural area. Now, do they have crime in rural areas? They do. But it's not to the level, you know, as it is in a big city.
It all depends, Brother L.A., on how you structure, how you're organized, and all those things that we've been discussing. Number one, you got to develop a mindset. Number two, you can't tolerate anything internally that is supported by this racist system. They can bring black folks into your mint that is working for them to go in and destroy everything you have. All you got to do is look at Chicago. I mean, look at these urban areas. I mean, look, if Raekwon can't read his name on the side of a wall, is getting all the drugs that he wants and all the guns that he wants, and he ain't got no job, no education, and no money, then you know that he's being supported by an outside force. The
right.
other thing is, you got to get rid of this foolish mentality that we have that, hey, look, I can be a part of this system because all I got to be is a conservative Republican or liberal Democrat. And go ahead and look, you got to think black in anything you do. And the trick is this, politics can't help you. Politics can't help you because politics was created to conserve this system. You got to get rid of that kind of mindset. It's got to be, as Marcus Garvey said, race first. It's got to be black first. And the thing is, it's going to take a long time to change 400 years of indoctrination that says that a nigger ain't shit. You got to get rid of the rappers. You got to get rid of the comedians. And you got to have them get on a more positive tip. So, I mean, it's going to take a lot of work to do that, Brother L.A. Now, yeah, you can put the buildings up, but the building is just like a church. The church is not the building. The church is the people that has the mindset to obey whatever the church rules are. It's all in the mind. It starts in the mind first.
That's true.
So, I mean, right now, if you put 20 black folks in the room, you're going to have 20 different opinions. Is nothing going to be set down to say, well, look, you know what? Forget about all of this other stuff that we've been trained to think as. And say, hey, look, we're going to concentrate on what's good for the black population in our area first. And I swear you're going to get 20 different opinions, and plus you're going to have somebody talking against it, period.
Mm.
But now, don't get me wrong. Like Jesus said, look, if nobody don't receive your message, then what you do is you get rid of them. I'm going to give you an example.
Right.
I had a dissension view of what was supposed to go on in a project that we was working on when I was in federal service. And the thing is, I didn't want to go along with the program because I knew the program was flawed. So guess what they did? They told me, said, well, Beasley, you know what? You're not a team player, so I think, you know, we need to let you go from this project. Because, you know, you're holding up progress. They told me to my face. Well, that's what you're going to have to do with a lot of black folk. You know, hey, those who don't want to go along, you leave them alone and let them go on out there, but you protect yourself from them. And you going on with the ones that's willing to move forward. That's what you got to do. You can't have everybody. And once you those people, you got to isolate the management from the broader group that's willing to go along with the program. Everybody can't have the access to the whole plan. You learned that in military. You learned that in your military class.
Right.
You got to compartmentalize whatever your project's going to be.
You're right.
But you know what? I'm going to tell you this. It's doable. It's doable. But the thing is, you're going to have to put in a lot of work. And by you moving to a rural area, you're still not safe, brother. In fact, you're more vulnerable moving to a rural, isolated area than you are by living in the inner city. Because, see, if you're living in the city, they got to take out some of their own. It's got to be collateral damage. But if you're out there in a town all by yourself with 80 to 90% black in that little small area you're talking about, hell, they can fly a damn helicopter in there or a plane and bum you out, or you'll surround your town. And the thing is, they can starve you out or do whatever they want to because you're vulnerable. And I don't know of a defense that you can use to do that. Now, yeah, for a while you can do what you're talking about, but you're more in danger by going ahead on out there and coming up with your own little community than you would be in a populated area. And then in the populated areas, L.A., we're all in sections of a certain part of the area, a certain part of that city. Right now, as I speak, they're performing an exercise of 20 counties in eastern North Carolina, and they're saying it's a anti-guerrilla exercise in 20 counties. Now, guess where those 20 counties are? In the biggest area where the black population is, because in eastern North Carolina, 45% of the black population is in eastern North Carolina. So why would they have an exercise in those areas when about what? The other 35 to 15 counties is heavily populated by whites, because I just left the mountains last week. And look, the population in those mountainous areas, in those mountainous counties, is less than, what, about 5%. Why would they have an exercise, a guerrilla exercise, in the counties where 45% of the black population lives? But, see, we don't think.
Right.
We don't. See, we're hung up on this here crazy-ass conservative liberal bullshit instead of going ahead on and coming up with a strategy for survival, which means businesses, which means growing your own food and everything else. And let me give you this here, and I'm going to shut up and let you talk. The first thing they've done, L.A., and I sent you the information, black folks had about 20 million acres of farmland, didn't they?
At least.
And they have systematically whittled it down to 2 million through what? Through the government.
Yeah.
Now, if you had
failed loan programs.
And look, what they didn't take, they let the storm troops, you know, these sundown towns where they let the civilian population come in and threaten you and tell you to get out of town by sundown. We're going to take this. Like they did Emmett Till's daddy, right? Or grand, or uncle.
Mo's right.
It's all been a strategy. It's all been a strategy. I sent you the text where a black man had 1,000. Now this is just one story of many. A black man had 1,000 acres of land, and the white boy told him, "Say, well, look, you farming like white folks." And instead of giving him the money like he was giving white farmers, he gave him half the money that he needed in order to sustain the operation. And the black man lost almost all of it, didn't he?
Yeah.
So it's a plan, Brother L.A. Now, you know, we can walk through this thing with rose-colored glasses, but we have to realize that they have tagged black people in this country as the enemy. And they have dealt with us like we're the enemy. And the thing is, we have allowed them to dictate the terms of engagement with us, instead of us doing what we need to do to go in and defend ourselves against all of these crooked schemes and the violence and every damn thing else that goes along with it. We did not have the stomach, nor do we have the stomach and the backbone now to do what we need to do. And you don't need a gun. See, that's the least thing that you need. Whenever you hear a black man or a black woman say, "We need to pick up arms," what you do is you shoot them right on the spot, right now. Get rid of them. And you need to go in and start the campaign. And I've been threatening to send you this book, but I haven't done it. But the thing is, it starts with the mind first.
No, that's true.
What did the guy say in The Art of War? The battle you win is the one that you don't use violence in.
Right.
Violence is the last thing that you use. But see, we haven't sit down to really structure this thing the way we're supposed to. And look, if the United States falls, the white supremacy matrix falls. They know this. Because they always say, have you ever seen that yellow flag that the Tea Party boys fly around all the time with that snake?
Yeah, I've seen that.
Well, the head of that snake is the United States, because these European countries don't have the population to do anything. And the trick is, if you look at the European nations, they don't have the population nor the power. The United States has to come in and back them up every time. And with that being the case, they can't afford for the United States to fall. And once upon a time, we were the second biggest population in the United States. And the reason why we are not the biggest population of the United States, we might be close to it, is because they undercount our numbers in the census because it's a military threat for us to know our numbers. And the trick is this. That's why they're bringing in all of these foreigners now to keep up the population, because the white population is not reproducing enough kids to go in and keep this population up. So what do? They bring in these Hispanics that's damn near white or is white with a mentality of being white to make sure that they keep these numbers up.
Well, they've been busting them into D.C., Boston, Chicago, and other places. And I'm pretty sure they'll be taking jobs that a lot of us won't take.
Well, it's not so much the jobs as it is the numbers, because they're going to take care of them whether they work or not. But the trick is this.
Yeah.
They can't pull any more immigrants from Europe because Europe is at a zero birth rate or less. They don't want Africans in here because that will increase the black population. And some Arabs they're going to let in here, and the closest thing to white that they can get in here are Hispanics that can reproduce.
What about Ukrainians coming over now?
Same thing. They're white.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to bring them here
mm-hmm.
as honorary white folk.
And you got Russians now starting to come over.
That's right. But they're carefully screened, and they're going to make them honorary white folk. If you think these American whites are racist and violent, just think of those Russians that come over here and interact with black folk. So, I mean, all you got to do is just think outside the box and use your military experience to go in and analyze the thing and stop thinking like, hey, look, I'm part of this American scene, in which we are. But the thing is, you got to realize that we're outsiders. We always have been outsiders.
Yes.
Well, but a lot of us want to be included.
That's the only thing that's keeping this thing going. They have brainwashed us into integration. And what did Malcolm X say? When you add cream to coffee, it gets weak, doesn't it?
Right.
But you know, interesting conversation, Brother Ellen. And I sent you something this morning that deals with this thing. And the thing is,
I had to review it again because I just skimmed over it. That's why I brought up the military science thing too, because somebody talked to him about it. Well, he brought up the term military science.
Mm-hmm.
But, all right, well, I want to cut it. Well, not short, because we done did our 2 hours. I'm going to take the rest of the day. I'm going to just take it easy today, and I'll see you guys tomorrow.
And look, be thankful that Columbus came over here.
I got your message.
All right.
You stupid son of a bitch. You running games here? I want to play.
Sure, fine, play. Bring your friends.
Nah, I want to play with Artie.
Come on, let's go, will you?
Jump deals. Blackjack house out.
You got some balls coming here.
Here on, nothing goes down unless I'm involved. No blackjack, no dope deals, no nothing. A nickel bag gets sold in the park. I want in. You guys got fat while everybody starved on the street. It's my turn. You think you're gonna live long enough to spend that money, you fucking hump? If any of you are tired of getting ripped off by guys like that, you come with me. I'm at the Plaza Hotel. You're welcome. You're welcome to join.